Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible. Well, this might shock you, but contrary to what you might think, this is not a Thanksgiving Day message, but it is about Thanksgiving. The difference between us and the average person is that we don't just give thanks on Thanksgiving Day. Look at the scripture. We give thanks always for all things. How is such an idea even possible? How can you give thanks for everything? Not just one day of the year, and not just 365 days a year, but every moment of every day during the 365. So that's our subject today. If God says that we should give thanks always for all things, and he does, I'm going to show that to you, then we're going to have to learn how to do that. So here we go. Are you ready? The first thing we must learn is that this is normal Christian living. This is normal Christian reality. Look at this scripture. Giving thanks always for all things. This is stunning. Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always. Can you imagine such an idea? Let's look at a couple of more scriptures about this. Rejoice evermore. I'm telling you, Christians are peculiar. They're always happy. Rejoice evermore. We pray without ceasing. We never stop. We're vertically connected all the time. And look at this now. In everything, give thanks. Whoa. In everything? Really? How can we do that? That's our subject today. How to give thanks always, all the time. Now, look at some more of this scripture. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will that we live in this perpetual condition, and not faking it, but genuine thanksgiving all the time for everything. Well, my goodness, how could that be possible? Well, before we get to that, I'm going to go there in just a moment and show you the answer from the Bible, which is what's most important. It's not about my ideas, it's about what the Bible has to say, right? So the next thing we need to learn, first of all, you got to get it straight, that this is the normal Christian reality, to always give thanks for all things. This is what it's supposed to be like. The normal Christian reality. So, this giving thanks always for all things reality is biblically assured. Watch the scripture now. And we know, and I hope you do, that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh my goodness, can you imagine that? We've got a promise that all things work together for good. Before I go back to this though, I want you to notice that this scripture started, let's look at it again, and we know. Now, a lot of people don't seem to know that. What's important is that between now and the next 18 or 20 minutes that we're together is that you come to know this is really true. What do we really want to know? Here it is, that all things are working together for good. I mean, you can't lose for winning. Once you know this, but most people don't, we kind of thought, okay, I'll believe it by faith, but I don't really grasp it or understand it. And that's why today it's so important that we're together. So now I want to take you through this verse one more time, but connect it to the next verse, because most people quote Romans 8:28 and stop at the end. But it is the next verse that really gives us the answer. And here it is. Look at it again. Those that love God and are called according to his purpose, okay, everything works together for good. And the next verse says, that we're to be conformed to the image of his son. Oh, the purpose of everything working together for our good, and it is because everything is conforming us to the image of his son. And so this must not be left out. I want you to look at this again. To be conformed to the image of a son. Everything works together. If you love God, right? If you're called according to his plan, and thirdly, if we are conformed to the image of Christ. That's why I'm saying that the foundation of the all things working together is, in fact, Christ-like character, and this is the verse that proves that to be true. Let's look at a translation, though. Here's the Amplified. We're destined is from the very beginning for ordaining them. Look at this now. To be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness. Ah, another translation. I travail in, this is not a translation. This is actually another scripture that Paul says, this is what I'm working at all the time. I travail in birth again. Now look at it. What's his goal? Until Christ be formed in you. Christ formed in us is what this is all about. So here's a translation from the Message. Do you know how I feel right now and will feel until Christ's life becomes visible in your lives? Look at this. Until Christ's life becomes visible in your lives. Let's look at another one. Until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within you. So watch this now, because the all things working together doesn't work for everybody. It works for those who love God. Ooh, right? Love God, or walking according to his purpose, and in whom the likeness of Christ is indeed molded to be conformed to the image of his son. So what I want you to grasp in essence today at the beginning is that it is this conformity to the image of Christ. It is this development of Christ-like character qualities that enable all things to work together for our good. So watch here now. So we give thanks for all things because we respond to every life situation from our Christ-like developed character, and that is exactly what makes things work for our good, so that we can in fact be thankful always for all things. So what I want to do now is I want us to discover this dynamic, and so I want you to pay attention on this one. Watch this now. The dynamics that enable us to give thanks always for all things. How does this work? How does that work? Here we go. So dynamics, we need to understand what it is. It is the study of the acting forces in any given situation and the changes they make. What is the cause that produces the effect? What are the dynamics that change some results? Huh? Dynamics is the study of the acting forces in any given situation, and and that's what makes changes. Okay, now let me get a little more detail here. It is the moving physical, now here's what I don't want you to miss, or the moral forces. It is the moral forces in any sphere or the laws by which they act. It is the moral forces. A moral force is the dynamic that changes the results. So what we want to learn now is what is the dynamic? How can we legitimately, intelligently say that everything's working together for our good and know that it's true? So here we go. We must first understand what this character, what it means when we talk about character. I certainly don't want you to miss the fact that dynamics are the physical or the moral forces in any sphere, or it is the laws by which things happen, by which they act. So what is character? Here we go. Character is the moral and mental qualities strongly developed or strikingly displayed that have become the essence of a person's established modus operandi. Let me repeat that. The moral and mental qualities strongly developed or strikingly displayed that have become the essence of a person's established mode of operation. Character is what causes us, enables us to respond to everything, or in contrast to that, the lack of character. We either respond to outside stimuli, good, bad, or indifferent, from our character position, or from a lack of character. So let's take a look at some of these. So if we speak truth to somebody, as opposed to deception, what do you think will be the result at the other end, especially if they get found out? Truth is going to produce a wonderful, positive result. Deception is going to be undermining. Let's look at another one. What if you have the character quality of deference? And what is deference? Deference is putting my own wishes aside in order to better serve those that I am called to bless, versus rudeness. Now, do you really think the lack of character in rudeness is going to produce any quality in this person who is the receptor over here? I don't think that's going to happen. Rudeness is never productive. It's never constructive. And in fact, let's look at forgiveness. So somebody does something to you, and if you have the character quality of forgiveness, you pay the bill, you write it off, you don't pay much attention or regard to it, you just forgive it, right? In contrast to that, if the person has done something nasty to you, we either forgive them or we reject them. We grit our teeth, perhaps, and but we don't want anything to do with them because we push them away. Why? Forgiveness always produces phenomenal results because it enables a relationship to continue, whereas rejection kind of terminates and it causes escalation. Then what if we have discernment as opposed to being judgmental? So in another teaching somewhere, we've contrasted these two because discernment is constructive. Judgmentalism is destructive. Judgmentalism is where we're always pointing the finger. That's what the devil does. He's the accuser of the brethren. We don't go around. In fact, Jesus said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." I want you to catch that. Don't judge, because if you do, you'll get judged back. And what happens? We judge somebody, they judge us, we judge them again, they judge us, and you get escalation instead of some companion, some commonality, some agreement, because we have after each other. Don't judge. In fact, might be interesting for you to look up on our website, nothingbutthetruth.org. We have a teaching on how to stop judging, because it's being done in mass right across the entire world. Instead of discernment, which is indeed positive instead of negative, constructive instead of destructive. What if you have the character quality of tolerance versus prejudice? So there's somebody you dislike. There's some, and you may be right that they are flawed. They may even be evil. They may have a lifestyle different than you think is right. So what shall we do with that? If we have tolerance, character quality, we will tolerate them, and in tolerating them, we will probably get a chance to dialogue with them, versus prejudice, where you shut down that whole person or that whole group of people who are practicing what you are supposed, and you're rightly opposed to it. But if you are judging them without any tolerance, the results are not good. And then what if you have the character quality of meekness? Which is, by the way, by definition, meekness is my strength under God's control. Huh? Now watch this, meekness versus anger. Anger never has a profitability to it. If you're angry, you start making decisions, and anger will influence your decision. Instead of being able to make a spiritual, logical response to someone or to some situation, anger will intrude into the mental processes, and it will color, distort, if you please, because it has sipped in or leaked in to the thinking process and contaminates it. So if we deal with people's anger, it's not going to go very hard. Meekness, same problem. It might be severe provocation coming from outside, but meekness is my strength under control. Can't leave this for a moment. The moment that someone makes you angry, they control you. I want you to think about that. Angry people are out of control. They're controlled by the circumstances, by the provokers, whoever provokes the anger. And this distorts their whole thinking process. So what if you have the character quality of gentleness instead of harshness? Which one do you think is going to be more productive? Do you see how if someone, you don't want to miss this. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, next part of the verse, unto all, everybody. Gentle instead of harsh. So no matter what's happening, if you have this character quality of gentleness, it's going to work for your good. It's going to work for the betterment of everybody. How about having compassion? What is that by definition? It is doing whatever it takes to heal the hurts of others versus indifference. Okay? So, there's a lot of hurt. It seems like human damage is piling up fast. In fact, one scripture says, is it nothing to you all ye that pass by? Are we just going to ignore? Or when we have opportunity within our sphere of influence, will we do what it takes to heal the hurts of someone else by demonstrating compassion? Which one is going to be productive? Which one is going to be which enables things to work together for good? Compassion or indifference? Gentleness or harshness? You see, its character is the dynamic, the energy that makes everything work for good. What if you have sensitivity versus callousness? Callousness, hardened. Nothing moves us anymore. Sensitivity, on the other hand, to the cares and needs of other people, enables us to walk in the shoes for a moment that they walk in. Understand how they feel. Because that is the prelude to being able to contribute to their lives, is to understand. Remember this if you're ever given, and I hope you are, to being a counselor, a Christian counselor. There are principles of Christian counseling. Here's one. Establish the need before you proceed. That's what sensitivity is about. Establish the need before you proceed versus writing them off. What if you have humility versus pride? Well, remember, only by pride comes contention. It causes escalation. And I want to go back to that verse. I probably should have put it on the screen for you, because that word only is kind of relevant, right? Only by pride comes contention, because we live in a culture where no longer is the issue of what's right, but who's right. It's a contest of egos, pride. So we want to be the one that's right, whether the right is really right or wrong, doesn't matter as long as we are perceived. That's what pride is like versus humility. And what if we learn to honor other people versus disrespecting them? Now there's, I wish we'd have more time on this, but there's a tremendous scripture. It says to give thanks for all men. We treat everybody with honor because they are someone for whom Christ died. He saw their value. He gave his life for them. Shall we disrespect them? I don't think so. Disrespect will cause deterioration, destruction. But when we esteem another person, even if they're wrong, we esteem their humanity. And one of these days, we're going to teach on what it means to be human. But until then, know this, that we're to honor them all. And what if we are attentive? When somebody's talking to us, we don't look over their shoulder and watch something else versus unconcerned. Again, we could go down the whole list of character qualities. There's 49 of them. You can find them outlined on our website, nothingbutthetruth.org. Let me give you one more illustration. What if we have the character quality of kindness? I can't remember who originated the saying, but it says, be kind to everyone. You don't know what kind of battles they're fighting, so be kind. Kindness versus malice. You see, do you see yet how the character qualities all line up to make things work for good? And that's why no matter what's going on, when we exhibit the character quality of Christ, what happens? It's working for the good. So let's go back and talk in conclusion here about the character for a moment. Here it is. Character. These are the things you need to know about character. Character is birth in the heart. You have to have a heart for it. Why is that? Because the scripture says that with the heart, man believes unto doing what's right. With the heart, we believe unto doing what is right. It's birth in the heart. And then character is learned from the instruction of wisdom and from the example of Jesus. I'll look at a couple of scriptures. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. He's going to make you smart. See, and character is learned from wisdom. Wisdom is the Bible word for being smart. And there was nobody smarter than Jesus. And then character is not only birthed in heart and learned from the instruction of wisdom and the life of Jesus, by the way, but is stored in the mind. Goes from the heart and is stored in the mind. It's birthed in the heart, learned, remember, from the instruction of wisdom and from the example of the life of Christ, and stored in the mind. That's why the scripture says, let this mind, this way of thinking, be in you, which was also in Christ. You learn to think like his character is birthed in the heart, but is stored in the mind. That's why you have to keep on track. Be ye transformed by, you have to keep the mind in that condition. And that leads us to the next point. Character is stored in the mind, but it is maintained by discipline. You got to work at it. Don't let it slip. Keep the mind renewed with the character qualities. And then character is the controller of all behaviors. In other words, every time we speak from the character base. If you're a kind person, what comes out of your lips will be kind. Every action will be kind. Every motive will be kind because you have the character quality of kindness. Character qualities control all behaviors. It's tragically true that the lack of character also controls behaviors. That's why character is so important. So character, I want you to make sure you get this, is birth in the heart, learned by the instruction of wisdom and from the example of the life of Jesus. It is stored in the mind. It must be maintained by discipline. It's the controller of all behaviors. And in fact, let's look at a scripture that says that. Let's not love in word, neither in tongue, as he, but in deed and in truth. Let it be authentic. That's maintained by discipline. And look at this now. It controls all behaviors. It is what enables us to respond to all of life's situations. 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. Why? Because we can give thanks always, always, always for all things because the character qualities that we have, which is Christ-likeness, enables us to rightly respond, productively respond, positively, constructively respond to all life situations. And if you haven't known it yet, you need to learn this, that character is proven to be the superlative way of life in real life. Real life. Everything is dealt with now from the character base of Christ's likeness. So that's why no matter what's going on, what other people think is good, bad, or indifferent is irrelevant. We can give thanks for it because it's an opportunity for a character to be displayed. And that's what's always working together for our good. I hope this is helpful to you, because what God wants for us is to live such a way that we can actually give thanks always for all things.
Do you ever wonder how to handle that difficult person in your life? David L. Johnston has a free ebook just for you, How to Handle Difficult People. Get the free ebook today by going to nothingbutthetruth.org/difficult.